At 502, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Boris and Bernstein, we're trying to get everybody back in your football habits now that you know and love here on Sports Radio 670, the score.
But here's one you got to keep.
Yeah, this one you got to keep.
It's a State Farm Bears Monday on the score. Matt Bowen is sponsored by MB Financial Bank, and he joins us on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Visit HRIFamilyFun.com today. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, and I think we're agreeing on this, that, yeah, it was great to see. It was great to see everything validated, all these hopes validated, but it's possible the Colts might just be awful, and their best pass rusher left the game, coincidentally, just when the offense really started to click. So I'm trying to be happy but not be stupid.
I agree with you. You should be happy about the win, but you have to understand what the competition level was. But I'll say this, guys. If you're as good of a team as we think this Chicago Bears football team is, then that's what you do. You take a team like that and you step on their throats. Let's be honest. You put them out of the game. That's why you saw late in the ball game when they had the ball in between the 40s, they took that shot down the field to Alshon Jeffrey. That's what you do against bad teams. You put them away. You say, look, you don't belong in the same field with us. We're going to run the ball. We're going to set up this deep play action. Then we're going to run you out of the stadium. Get on the bus, go back to O'Hare, and go home. That's what you do if you're a dominant team.
What did you see, Matt, that concerns you? Was there anything with the Bears on either side of the ball that you look ahead now? Because we got a game coming on top of us right away. We'll talk a lot about the Packers in the second session with you here. But anything you saw right off the top that struck you as ooh for the Bears? Was there any ooh?
I don't think Urlacher's game ready right now. You can see that he was slow in his reads. I think his change of direction was limited. I think his power on contact was limited. And that has nothing to do with skill set, guys. That's about we're talking about a Pro Bowl talent who hasn't practiced and hasn't hit anyone since last December. I think you saw that. I think you saw the importance of training camp, the importance of conditioning your legs, setting your pads, and getting game ready. You just come out in the field on opening day and play against the Colts. I know they're a team that we already talked about that's not as competitive as the Bears are. They're still a pro football team. There's still guys in that offensive line who get paid a lot of money. And he looked like a guy that was a little out of place because he's not conditioned yet. He's not ready to play yet.
When you saw the offense on the field for the first time in game speed, after everything you saw in the preseason and with all the practices that you saw, is this what you expected it to look like? Or was there anything they were holding back? Were there anything new and different where you raised your eyebrows to say, oh, okay, I didn't know we were going to see that?
No, I think if you were down at Bourbonnais, you saw a lot of deep shots down the field, and you saw the ball go to number 15 every day in practice. And I think even yesterday, when Brandon Marshall's covered, the ball's still going there, all right? Jay Cutler proved that.
Didn't stop him.
The ball's going there because he has so much confidence in him. And if I was a quarterback, I'd be thinking the same way. Guys, go to the touchdown he had in the goal line against Davis. What that is, it's called a fade stop. The cornerback from the Colts immediately opened his hips and thought it was a fade route. What does Brandon Marshall do? Because he's bigger, stronger, faster, just turns around and shields the guy off. That's so easy. It's almost too easy. That's what you get with Brandon Marshall. Dan and Jerry, whenever they wanted to throw a slant route yesterday, they had it. Mm-hmm. Whenever they wanted to.
Yep.
Okay, and that's something that Bears fans have to get used to because they haven't seen that in a long time, maybe ever, here in Chicago. But he is that good when he gets the football, and I think he's going to get the football a lot this season. Because you look at matchups, look at cornerbacks, and then NFC North, and you have to remember that Charles Woodson is playing inside now in Green Bay at safety position. I don't think there's a cornerback that consistently can check Brandon Marshall at the line of scrimmage.
Well, and you look at it, you know, there's always like this idea, well, we're going to keep this under wraps. You're not going to see everything. Well, Matt, I didn't see anything. You know, again, I don't watch practice like you do. I don't know what the hell I'm watching. But I didn't see anything that I said, oh, there's a something there I wasn't expecting, right? So that's accurate?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm sure they've already game planned for Green Bay.
Oh,
I'm sure they already have a package ready for Green Bay, and I'm sure they held some stuff back, especially when they built up the lead that they're going to use this Thursday night. But in terms of the basic install and what they put together in Bourbonnais from an offensive perspective, that's what they did. He even saw some stack looks, and a stack look is when you have two guys close together.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon Marshall is going to be on the top of the stack, and Earl Bennett's going to be underneath. And Earl Bennett's going to run an option route, and Brandon Marshall is going to scare the secondary down the field, and Earl Bennett's going to pick up a first down. He saw a lot of that down in training camp. What I didn't see, I will say this, though. I thought you'd see more balls go to the tight ends. Now, they attempted some. Jay missed on a couple earlier in the game. But I would like to see the tight end position more involved.
Now, I thought Kellen Davis was bad. You know, there were very few things in the offense that I thought were just bad. I mean, some of the stuff to Devin Hester on the outside, trying to get him in, and some of the ghost action stuff was a little odd to me. It looked like plays from 10 years ago. But it looked like Davis and Cutler are still struggling to communicate. I don't know if it's the depth of the route or where or how soon he's out of his break, but it's just not right between those two.
Timing not there.
Yeah, I think it's what you just mentioned, Dan, is the break. You know, Kellen Davis is a linear athlete. What that means is he's a straight down the field athlete. Very fast, very athletic, but coming out of his breaks, he does have a little stiffness to his game. Okay, then that's what you're going to get. And if you're talking about having timing with the guy coming out of your break who's not as flexible when he drops his hips and chops his feet, and that's going to take some time to develop. There's no question about it.
Or it takes some time to get Kyle Adams into that position. Or if Rodriguez keeps blocking like that, you give him back 88 and you give him the job.
Yeah, and Rodriguez had an excellent game blocking yesterday. I think that surprised a lot of people. He's tough, and he's come a long way. Because I go back to when I was talking to you guys in the spring after that rookie minicamp. I don't think he was in NFL shape yet. I don't think he was accustomed to the speed of the game. He's come on very quickly. He had a good training camp. I'll be interested to see if they can get him the football. And I'm not trying to compare these athletes, but you look at how New England uses Aaron Hernandez. What I mean by that is look how they use a second tight end. When you have two tight end personnel, which I call ace personnel on the field, if you can create a matchup with that second tight end, you're going to win a lot of games.
You know, give me your assessment of Andrew Luck, because we've been talking about him most of the day and just looking at what the Bears did to him. I don't know after one game if you can make any grand statements about anybody. RG3 obviously made a big statement yesterday.
Right.
But what did you think? I mean, are we missing something, or is he still, like, what Brian Billick called the cleanest prospect he's seen come out since John Elway or whatever the hell he said?
Yeah, I think some of that stuff got a little out of hand. He's a very good football player. He has all the tools you want at the quarterback position, but he's going to take time to develop. I thought Tim Jennings pulled a lot of veteran moves on him yesterday. You know, that pick that Chris Conley had in the end zone, what Tim Jennings did right there is a risky play, but it's something a veteran does because he understands field position. He understands route concepts. He has an inside slant. He knows he has a free safety. He knows you cannot run a deep route from the 5-yard line because there's nowhere to go. You're going to run into the band. You're going to run up to some hot dog vendor and hit him in the head because there's nowhere to go. So what does he do? He slides underneath him. When you slide underneath him, a rookie quarterback's not expecting that. Because in college football, he sees, okay, I got outside leverage. I throw the inside breaking slant. Tim Jennings slides underneath, gets a hand in the ball, tips up to Chris Conley. That last pick Tim Jennings had, that was cover two. All he did was sink and kind of slow play it and bait Andrew Luck into throwing that ball, and he went and got it. You know, Tim Jennings had an excellent game, and I thought that was an example of a veteran saying to a rookie quarterback, look, son, you're not ready for this yet, and I'm going to show you why.
Speaking of the defensive backs, it's obvious that score and timing affected the safety depth and the decision to stay in mostly a cover two shell after they'd been mixing things up earlier on. And the deep middle was there. And they give them credit. They didn't stop trying to find Fleener. They didn't stop trying to run some of those long digs and some of the stuff down the middle of the field to find that. And more power to them. But how much of that, too, is the fact that they have always played Conte really deep? And I'm a little worried that even early in the game that a quarterback with the savvy of Aaron Rodgers is going to find that, especially if Urlacher isn't there to cover the deep middle.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. You know, that's part of the development for Chris Conte, too. And I talked to him during training camp at Bourbonnais, and he mentioned that he just played deep last year. It's not that you're playing scared. It's just as a rookie, you don't want to get beat deep down the field. So you play, when you turn on the film, sometimes it looks like there's 10 guys out there because the other safety is down by the goalpost. So what you want to do is shorten your depth, shorten your alignment, and challenge receivers. In cover two, you can break on a dig route. That's a 15-yard square. And is it the safety's play to make? No. But if you want to have a good defense and you want to have a dominant defense, then your cover two safeties have to be playmakers, Dan. They have to be. They have to get their hands on the football. And that's what makes good safeties, the guys that challenge routes.
Should we still be concerned about the Bears' safeties? I mean, there's nothing yesterday, Matt, that we saw that you say, now we're okay.
No, I mean, this is what they are. I mean, there's no one out there. You're not going to find anyone on the street right now that come in and play. This is who they have. You know, if they get pressure up front, they're going to look a lot better. If Lance Briggs makes a lot of plays, they're going to look a lot better. If Tim Jennings continues to play this type of football, they're going to look real good. Now, are they guys you can count on as your number one playmakers? No, everyone knows that.
No, when, the number one playmaker is 90. I'm sorry.
Right. Well,
I don't care what else is going on, but that dude is something.
No, he is. And I think you saw that yesterday with Peppers. Sometimes that man is unblockable. He really is.
Now, another thing, too, before and after the break, we're going to talk a lot about Bears and Packers. I want to ask about the number of times the Bears checked into runs, because it was obvious. It was certainly clear. And when you mentioned that there were going to be a lot of hand signals between Cutler and the wide receivers, and there was certainly that going on. But what I liked was some recognition, whether it's just a function of the number of guys in the box after they get their mic point and everything taken care of, get guys counted. But there were some very successful checks to some basic runs, and that we never saw that last year.
No, and you saw that, and you saw that when Jay looked at Brandon Marshall outside and said, I have this matchup, that was where the ball was going to. I think you saw a quarterback that had control of the offense, and that's what you want to see. And now you don't want him to be the coach, okay? Mike Tice still calls the plays, and you have to respect that as a quarterback, but you have to have some flexibility in there. So when you go to the line of scrimmage and you see something, because anyone who watched that Denver game last night and watched how Peyton Manning completely dictated the flow of that football game. That's what you want out of your quarterback.
Well, let's get to the Packers because I know you got a run on us. Brian Urlacher's been a key in the fact that they've managed to contain Aaron Rodgers, and the debate goes on, Matt, about is this a good time to play the Packers, a bad time? I don't know. All I know is the last two times I've seen the Packers now for real, I mean, that offense just hasn't flowed.
Right.
I mean, and I don't know if the Bears can make it look the same way, or we're going to have a shootout or whatever. But I'm not frightened to death like I would have been in the Packers ordinarily under these circumstances.
No, I saw the last three quarters of that game and watched the first quarter this morning. I'm talking about San Francisco, Green Bay game after we did the pregame show yesterday. And, you know, Green Bay got pushed around a little bit. Let's be honest. Anyone who watched that game could see that Jim Harbaugh's club was much more physical. And running the football and the Niners' ability to hit from the secondary to get pressure on the defensive line, it looked like a more physical football team. It was power football against a finesse spread style from Green Bay. And we heard about all after they signed Cedric Benson, they're going to be more dedicated to the run game. I didn't see that. Okay, you still have to run the football to win in the NFL. You don't have to run for 300 yards. You have to run to draw safeties towards the line of scrimmage to set up your passing game and to be a physical football team. You know, to eventually hit someone in the mouth and say, you know, we can do this stuff too. But I will say this. Aaron Rodgers did not play his best football game, but I can't remember the last time Aaron Rodgers struggled for 2 weeks straight. I think the Bears will get his best. And this, you guys, you have to understand about this game. It's not about scheme. It's not about X's and O's. In a short week versus a divisional opponent, this is about personnel.
Yeah, they know each other.
Yeah, it's like playing your little brother in
right.
a game pickup
right.
basketball. You know all his moves. That's what you know. This game is completely about personnel and players making big plays.
Why was San Francisco able to find a matchup of a wide receiver in the slot against a linebacker when they wanted to? It seemed that whether it was Nick Perry, A.J. Hawk, they were able to get a wide receiver there. Isn't that something the Bears can see and say, all right, well, we can do that too?
Right, and it's not exactly man coverage, but it's a zone coverage where they're responsible for, if you want to call it the seam flat, curl flat, whatever you want to call it, but that's their zone. And when you're matched up against a guy like that, you just run an option route all day and say, you can't stop me. You can't stop me.
So the Bears could have that.
They could, but I think the key, Dan, and something we really need to take from yesterday's game, even though it was against the Colts, was the number of explosive plays. That's how you win football games, guys. Plus 20 yards, plus 25-yard gains. You pick up plays like that, you're automatically in field position to score points. You have to have those big plays. The Bears did not have enough of those last year. But we saw yesterday, when you can flip the field like that, you're going to put points on the board.
Well, and that's what I kind of expect Thursday, Matt. I hardly expect a defense. It's been defensive struggle. It's been low-scoring games fairly when the Bears have played the Packers for the most part with Aaron Rodgers. I don't really expect that this time. I mean, I kind of think that the Bears are going to score on them.
No, I do, too. I do, too. I think that Green Bay secondary is having some issues.
Oh.
You know, they're moving Woodson to safety, and Charles is a great player, phenomenal player, one of the best football players I've ever seen up close. But he's playing a new position. Tremont Williams has not really bounced back from that one great year he had when they went to the Super Bowl. Morgan Burnett has not become the dominant player they thought he was. And losing Nick Collins, that's a big story. It's not talked about enough. Nick Collins is a great free safety with range they don't have. So I think the Bears will be able to score points on him, too. The way it's going to be low scoring, the only way it'll be low scoring is I think if you see a lot of turnovers. But I don't see either of these teams being careless with the football. I think there's going to be a lot of deep shots.
All right, Matt, last thing I've got for you. If you're coaching, how long do you give Urlacher to show that he can be effective? And he looks great out there, and you want to see him. You want to hear his voice if you're teammates. But you're up against damn Aaron Rodgers. And as you pointed out before, when they start motioning a wide receiver into the middle of the field and start testing his hips and his reaction time, how many tests does he have to fail before you say, come over and stand next to me and take your helmet off?
Well, it's really an interesting discussion, Dan, because you're talking about one of the all-time greats, too. Okay.
I know. It's
you're
why
not,
it's
you're
so
not
much
talking
gravity
about
here.
Matt Bowen playing for the Redskins in 2004.
Oh, that was awesome.
No, no, don't sell yourself short.
What do you
say?
Get out of the game, get to the locker room. No, with Brian Urlacher. With Brian Urlacher, we were talking about one of the best players in history to wear that uniform. It's a tough decision, but you also have to put the team first. If he's struggling out there, you have to make a move. It's an important game. It's a divisional game, guys. These games count.
It's just very, it's very difficult, Matt, as we let you go to differentiate between just not being in shape and not being Brian Urlacher, period.
Well, that's what we have to find out. I'm still confident that it's just a guy that hasn't practiced a lot. He's not comfortable with his knee yet. I'm not saying the knee's still hurt. I'm saying he's not comfortable with it yet. Now, if it's hurt, then that's another story. But they need him. And as I've told you guys before, if the Bears want to win a championship, they need number 54.
NFL Talk on the Score being brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL. Here we go, and there you go. I know you have TV responsibilities, but we are looking forward to having you join us each Monday at 5 o'clock talking Bears.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
That is Matt Bowen of the Score. You can also hear him on the pregame show, as we all did this first week with Hub Arkush and Dan Hampton. He is a busy man.
And you know, with the Thursday game, we're going to have Maddie this Friday.
Sweet.
Outstanding.
And you know where we're going to be Friday?
One of my favorite places.
Lamplighter. Palatine.
Frank?
Yes.
Frank, get it ready.
Frank's already getting it ready. Are you kidding? He's upstairs preparing our special spot for us. Plenty more to come. We got another 40 minutes of talking Bears. 312-644-6767. You have the Score.